All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Chronic.
Tick, tick, tick. Boom. Yes, it is officially your favorite day of the week. It's Monday again, peeps, which means it's Meltdown Monday in my heart and in your heart and in the hearts of all the bomb squad around the world. And rest assured, ladies and gentlemen, we are international. We stretch the four corners of the globe, bringing audio symphonies to your ears. And today is going to be no different. We are going to hit something really fun, really crazy, really stupid in parts, but something that makes me smile from ear to ear. And it's that positive reinforcement that we like to promote here on The Meltdown. Welcome, welcome. My name's Tom Finkill. I'm repping it over here in good old MAN UK. It has been rainy, it has been dark, it has been bleak, and that has just been my life this particular week. But today we are putting the sunshine back on me. I'm getting all happy, all smiley once again. I get to sit across from my big brother over the pond, and we're going to review one of WCW's shining moments from the year 2000. And I say shining moments with a little tongue inside my cheek. But as we get prepared, it gives me the greatest of pleasure. As always, it's the highlight of my week. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to your ears, your eyes, and all of your senses, the man, the myth, the legend. Oh, that's three-time tag team champ. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Brian Clark.
Thank you, Tomcat, for that phenomenal intro. We are so glad to have you back at 100. Well, okay, 90-ish percent. You know, Tom was under the weather last week and still made this show complete. So we're glad he's getting better. And do not get it twisted, ladies and gentlemen. He is the three-time UK Host of the Year and Guinness World Record holder. That's right. That is what you guys are listening to. Champ and champ right here. Back together once again. It is Monday Meltdown. And also tomorrow, just a quick shout out to all of my fellow veterans, servicemen and women of the country. Thank you all for your service. Just wanted to get that quick in there. And tomorrow is a big day here in the U.S., so thank you to all my fellow vets.
Right here in the UK as well is, yes, remember the 11th of November. We will be wearing our poppies with pride and giving thanks to all of those that gave their lives to give us a better tomorrow. So thank you so much for all your service. And Brian, to you as well. You are veteran approved. You are a legend. And we don't hold that term lightly. Thank you so much, good sir. Well, we are ready for something fun, because today we are going to take the Meltdown back to its roots. When we first formed this show, we wanted to have interviews with superstars of the past, present, and future, which we bring you. We wanted to give you reviews on current products, which we give you. And we also wanted to take you on a little journey with us back in a time machine to host our very own watch-alongs. And today, We've got an absolute belter because the WWE Vault and the WCW channels on YouTube have been giving us gem after gem of content. And as just appeared this past week, they uploaded a specific segment, a specific match, a specific infamous piece of professional wrestling history in the May 3rd, 2000 episode of WCW Thunder. I'm going to paint the picture for you. I'm going to pose some questions to Big Brian. And whilst I'm doing that, load up your YouTube machine on a separate device. Yes, grab your phones, grab your iPads, grab your Samsung Galaxies, load up YouTube on a separate device, and make sure you set the timer to zero, set the audio to mute, and get ready as we break down this absolute corker. This is a massive battle royal from WCW Thunder in May of 2000. We have just come from the big reset. Yes, it has been Russo and Bischoff. They have reset the brands. So we had a full week off Nitro where it was like best ofs, and then it was full force. Vince Russo became an on-screen character. Eric Bischoff made his triumphant return with some silky grey locks, that silver fox. I love that look on Eric, to be fair. He looked amazing. And we had a full reset of all the titles in WCW. As we progress forward, that was about a month prior to where we are now. And we have got a full-on stable war as we have got the established stars of the Millionaires Club. Yes, we've got the Hulk Hogans, the Ric Flairs, the Stings, the Lex Lugers, the Chronics of the world against the New Blood. Yes, all the hot, young, fresh talent that feel like they were being held down by the Millionaires Club. And when we talk about hot, young talent, we're talking about people like Billy Kidman, like Vampiro, like Mike Awesome, Scott Steiner, Jeff Jarrett. They're all included in the mix, as well as others that I've just missed out. But well, we'll talk about this.
I forget about Ernest the Cat Miller.
My Lord.
I know. Come on, right?
Ernest is an absolute shining light on this particular video. So Ernest, yes, somebody better indeed call your mama because you stole the show, brother. Let's see exactly what we can touch upon. Now, before we get into it, Brian, talk to me a little bit about the reset and what was going on within the internal workings of WCW at that particular time. What do you remember about April 2000?
Honestly, not a lot. That I had to rewatch this again just to refresh my memory because I really had forgotten about this. When you mentioned this to me, I was not sure if we were even in this. I was like, "What battle royal? I don't remember." And then I watched it. I was like, "Oh, that battle royal." yeah, this was. It seemed like the beginning of the end. Just two separate ideas as far as the whole booking process. Even though they were on camera, it looked like they were working together. It just didn't seem to have this, you know, they had to have the same vision, at least what I'm seeing. But yeah, it was just a big cluster, but with still a lot of entertainment considering there were that many people in the ring at one time.
Now, we are a positive show, and we always look for the silver linings in everything to try and put a smile on people's faces. And for everyone that was in attendance this particular night in Memphis, Tennessee, you were spoilt for choice when it came to which legendary superstar you were going to cast your eyes on in that ring, because everybody was there, as we'll see as we progress forward. So I'm ready to pose some questions to Brian. He is going to take us in a little time machine and tell us what he remembers of the time. Are you guys ready to press play? Brian, are you ready, big man?
I'm ready.
We are all set to zero. I'm going to count you down from 3, 2, 1, and then play. So get yourselves ready. Make sure you're all prepared. I am about to go forth and start a piece of pro wrestling history. In 3, 2, 1, play. There we go. We are off. And as we see walking through the backstage area, we have got the New Blood. They are incensed. They are ready for a fight. And it is everybody that you would establish, you would recognize from the New Blood. So it's all the big names. Vampiro, Buff Bagwell, Jeff Jarrett, and again, Ernest the Cat Miller. They're all bringing weapons to the ring, Brian. And the cat is bringing a shoe. That is, it's just the cat all over, right?
Well, we've got Ernest Miller with a shoe. We have Sonny with a lead pipe. So this is going to go anywhere, really. We got our good buddy Sean Stasiak looking phenomenal, great shape as always. Yeah, man, this is great. And again, you said Eric with the silver locks. I think that's a great look. I have to agree.
Definitely. It really stood out. And I felt that it was a complete contrast from his NWO look, which is what you like to have when the character changes completely. But as we see it on screen right now, so strange the way that this was set up, because this is the go home show for the big pay-per-view of Slamboree, which, if you remember, was the triple layer cage that they used in the
I
Warner
remember.
Brothers movie Ready to Rumble. That is a whole nother show that I'm sure we could talk about in depth at that one. But they're setting the stage for WCW Slamboree. However, this match was to determine the number one contender for the pay-per-view following Slamboree. This was to determine the number one contender for Great American Bash. It just didn't mesh at all. It was just so peculiar the way that they were working it. But looking at my screen right now, you can see Eric there in the ring with the mic. He's laying out the challenge to the Millionaires Club. He's got baseball bat in hand. And looking behind him, we've got the wall there with a wrench. We've got Sonny with a pipe. We've got Stasiak with a crowbar. We've got Mike Awesome with a bull hammer.
Yes, that was
Did
funny.
you notice that as well?
Yes. Yeah, and watch him use it once we get started here. I'm amazed with all this steel, baseball bats, all the metal. There was no blood other than what was on Vampiro from earlier in the night.
Again, that's just such a strange way of segmenting things, because Vampiro was hit with the big blood drop spot, and that would typically end a show, I guess. You're covering the ring in liquid, especially dyed liquid. That would and should close the show. But no, we're going to go into a massive battle royal. So Eric has just laid out the challenge to the Millionaires Club. And as we see on our screen right now, the Nature Boys Titantron is playing over the big screen. Now I'm looking at this big screen, and it does take me back to WCW of 2000, but it's really uniconic when I think of WCW. You think of WCW of the big sort of 1997 design with the big silver WCW signs on either side, or even the new logo, which I'm sure posed a number of different issues when you were walking down that ramp. But what did you think of the set design of this one?
I wasn't a big fan of it. I really preferred the older style prior to this. Both of the two previous ones, in my opinion, they looked better.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the shot now, and I see everyone there, and I see my partner there. I see Sting. I see Mr. Perfect. I think Brian Clark is in catering right now. I'm not sure. They said last call, so I thought I would go ahead and get another bite. And then I would come out a little bit later.
I love it. Honestly, you will. You as you watch this with us, you will see Brian enter the ring just on his own. Just a random rock up. I like it. It was an excellent shot, mate. What would be your go-to in catering?
Oh, I would always go with the grill. They always had a really good grilled chicken, so I'd always go with that. And then, of course, some type of rice or pasta, depending on what I was doing for the night. Actually, I would sort of base what I ate on what I was doing. By the way, Hugh Morris is getting the
The
ball peen
bull hammer.
hammer. And of course, Sonny, if you notice that Eric takes a powder, Vince, everybody leaves. And they just, yeah.
So why, as you're setting up this match, it's meant to be 11 on 11. So 11 members of the Millionaires Club against 11 members of the New Blood. And as we've just said, which one of my favorite spots, Hugh Morris takes about 12 shots with that bull hammer to the head, no sells it. Here's Brian Clark right now, ladies and gentlemen. There he is. The monster has just entered the
I was late to the ball.
frame. But always so pretty, brother. Always so pretty. Cinderella's just made her appearance. I like it. Oh, look at this. Okay, so we've got Hogan. What now? Let's talk about Hogan right now. Talk to me about Hogan.
I just caught a shot of the wall, Big Jerry, and he was selling with the bandana in his mouth. Yeah, we touched about we chatted about this off air prior to this, and I just thought it was such an amazing transformation with Hogan with this look, the FU New Blood, right? And just a couple of years later, he's in the biggest stage of them all versus The Rock at WrestleMania. Just amazing that it would go from this to such a positive thing for him. You know, a great way to have a send-off career. I mean, it was that I remember that Rock versus Hogan was one of my favorites, honestly. And they didn't have to do that much, which was even
No,
better.
you are over when you get that reaction before you've even touched.
Yes.
That match is legendary. As we see another legendary superstar in Rick. Why is Rick just wearing a white t-shirt and slacks?
I don't know. Not unless he was, they had him doing something in the back. Maybe he was cutting promos or recording something. I don't know. It's the only thing I could think of.
Yeah, very very odd look for the Nature Boy, but Lex is
Yeah.
wearing something very similar. It
Yeah.
was it I mean from a booking perspective, and I'm going to take you back to this particular time. What would because it involves so many of you, how would the writers, the production crew, the team who are looking after this, the booking committee, go to each and every one of you? Would it be would it be right? Sit down in the room. This is what we're going to do tonight. Or would it be a case of there'd be a board and it would just be your name on it? You're going to be in this battle royal.
I think each scenario is different, and even each company, the way they do it, they would usually probably talk to us and let us know, okay, this is where you're going in, this is where you're going out. Yeah, I think both companies do it different. But everybody knows if you're in it, you're in it. You know when you're going to be eliminated and what point. And there's so many people in this that until it thins out, to it really thins out, you're just going to have to be put out the most convenient way until you can actually do a spot or two and incorporate something that looks different.
That's
And,
what, yeah.
yeah, and we're adding more people that just keeps flooding in. So it's almost impossible to really do something special.
This was such a crazy spot. I just didn't understand it at all. You've got 11 against 11, and now you've just introduced the Mamelukes, the Harris Brothers, Bam Bam Bigelow, Disco Inferno, Harlem Heat 2000, and my personal favorite, Screaming Norman Smiley there, rocking it up at the back. I did beautifully enjoy some Brian Clark shots on Sean Stasiak. Sean got taken to task a minute ago. That was a highlight. As we see Chris Candido try and get his licks in, but nope, Brian's all about this. There's some chops for you, skip of the
And a
body
couple of
doubles.
these, and a couple of guys that are, I say, new to the business in this also. So you have to watch, you know, you got to be careful with that too. I think the one of the big guys that came out with Harlem Heat, I don't think he had a ton of experience. But if you're going to get experience, this is an easy way to do it in this battle royal, you know.
Yeah, as
So,
we see Brian getting gnawed on by the wall. There we
yeah.
go. Well, he's going to be breaking the walls down very soon because I don't think the wall lasts too much longer in this particular match. But there are certain spots that I'm going to highlight to you as we go through. Right now, Shane Douglas, you'll see him on the left-hand side of the ring, is currently choking. I believe it's Nature Boy Ric Flair with a lead pipe. You'll see them go back and forth. Oh, the baddest man in the world's just rocked up in a shirt that he's cut the front out of. But there we see. Watch this shot. Boop. Conan
Totally
no
knows.
sells completely.
If you get hit with a lead pipe in your ankle, you're gonna sell it, you know?
Just like getting hit in the head 12 times with a bull hammer.
I know.
My goodness me. I'm still waiting for to see the cat leather someone with his shoe. Yeah, Jarrett's facing the music, literally in Memphis tonight. Well, taking it back to the rest of the show, you might remember some of the other features on this particular show that aren't featured here. And with the lack of the WWE Network or Peacock here in the UK, we haven't got access yet to the full show. However, this show, the whole show was officiated under New York City rules by Vince Russo, which meant there were no referees in any of the matches and the wrestlers could make the three count themselves. Do you remember this?
It sounds familiar.
In fact, sounds like one of Vince's ideas. But I think the issue when it comes to WCW with Vince, and I am a Vince Russo fan. I think so, the opportunities that he gave to so many talent is phenomenal, including yourself and Brian putting you together as Chronic. The Natural Born Thrillers were given the opportunity under Vince. I think the only thing that he was missing in WCW was an editing figure. Someone who could take his ideas and go, they're brilliant, and these ones, let's rework a little bit. Because the New York City Rules was a never been done, look how full that ring is, never been done before idea. But it meant that there were no referees in the ring. The wrestlers could make the count themselves. You and Brian went against Shane Douglas and Buff Bagwell, who were the tag champs at the time, and you made the count yourself. The announcers had no idea what was happening. They had no idea whether you were new champs, whether you won. What? Yeah, it was chaos. It was chaos.
I remember Bobby doing a great job of just trying to cover this big mass of people. I think he did a really good job. I think Tenay did a great job.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed his work, by the way, Mike Tenay.
Mike Tenay, he's Cal as the professor really, really sits him well because he is such a knowledgeable announcer.
I really like his work. And Scott Hudson's another guy who was not on this show, but he's another guy that I really enjoyed his work also.
Of the time. Now, look at Scott Steiner there, looking absolute beastly. Another wonderful feature of this match, Scott just gets out the ring, tells a load of referees to go F themselves.
Yes.
Sky just such a wildfire. Talk to me a little bit about Scott Steiner.
Oh, I loved him. Yeah, he was a hothead, no doubt about it, at times. But he was fun also. He was funny, and I liked being around him. He was my neighbor, actually. So we lived up on Lake Acworth, and I had Scott on one side of me and Rick on the other. And we would go racing jet skis out on the lake. So
The meat in a Steiner sandwich. Love that.
it was great. Oh, we're going to leave now. We got a call. We're
The
heading out.
boys are out. Apparently it's 4:19 and there's a minute to get back.
We got, we just, no, I don't even, anyone threw us out. I think we just decided to leave.
Again, another feature of this particularly weird Thunder was that you had so much talent that had just decided to show up to the match. They weren't involved in the match. 11 versus 11 was what it was meant to be. And then when we actually had some legitimate ejections from the ring, the eliminations weren't actually captured by the production. Was this so going back and watching things like this, did you ever as talent watch the shows after they had aired for the first time, if it was a live show?
We would usually make it back to the hotels, and it would do a replay. There'd be like an hour break between the shows, and it would replay. But just looking at this now, looking back all these years, I'm thinking to myself, obviously the booking committee and production are not on the same page as far as, hey, okay, Chronic's gonna go out this time, Bigelow's going out this time, Jarrett's going out. They're not on the same page because they should get those shots.
Yeah,
This
that's your
isn't
money shot, right? That's your money shot.
that's not the first time either. It happened to me with Jericho, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, this was one of the first shows that we reviewed. Go back into our Meltdown archives, and this was the one where you chased Jericho out the back and you were running around the side of the big semi truck, and they should have
Yeah,
cut.
we told them, but we walked through it with them and said, okay, cut right here. Because I'm gonna be I told him I was gonna pick up a lot of speed and go after him. And instead of me turning, I'm just gonna keep running, but cut it. They had plenty of time. They knew. Just not on the same page, unfortunately.
That must be such a massive frustration from the talent to be putting them in this position where you're gonna have gold. All you need to do is just work it, just standardly. That's it. You know that you're gonna have these spots, but no. I mean, our production's miles better, I've got to say. Let's keep it rolling. As we see a number of eliminations, we see Scott Steiner around the outside of the ring. Sting and Vampiro. Again, we've not actually seen their eliminations. They're just on the outside of the ring as Vamp takes a massive shot. That's continuing their feud. I appreciate that when it comes to battle royals, that we've got feuds that can progress, can continue. But in this one, so weird. You see Van Hammer there in the blue t-shirt, who is representing the Misfits in action, wasn't actually employed by WCW in storyline. So why is he in the ring? Just so strange.
You got to watch this dance. What watch him right now. Watch Van Hammer and tell him what's going on here.
That is some
Hey.
man love right there. And
And
now,
then,
speaking of love,
yes,
the girls have arrived.
right.
And there goes Hammer, and there goes Stevie Ray. And Hammer is pissed that he's lost a match that he isn't actually in a company that he's not employed by. Very, very strange. Now we've got Medusa and Asia in the ring, who I love the commentary team. The announcers are great. But as it says, Asia and Mona are working together. Nope, Mona's not in the ring yet. So that's blatantly Medusa. Mike Awesome is not having any of this. And he's going to take matters
And
into his own hands.
he tells her, hey, get in the ring and then get on my back, and then we'll go from there.
There we go. A couple of punches, and we love Christy. Oh, now here's Mona. Mona makes a run in. Oh, she's going. Now are the girls going for this championship shot?
I don't know. I don't know. Somebody needs to smarten me up. I have no idea.
Now, one of the best points of this match that really makes me laugh every time I see it is Awesome has just gone to town on Medusa, and Shane's grabbed her by the legs, going for what would typically be the nut shot, until he realizes that he's grabbed the legs of a woman. And where does he go from here? So are we going to go for it? Are we going to go all in? Yeah, he does it anyway. He does it anyway. Goes all in anyway. Medusa tries to sell it and then seems to tickle his balls with her feet. You'll check this out. Any second, it'll be on the screen. There we go. Right now.
Oh, I missed that. Wow.
There's Shane's payday, right?
There you go.
Let's see who's still in there. Okay, so from our original 11 versus 11, The Wall and Mike Awesome were on the side of the Millionaires Club, but we've added so many different characters into the mix that I don't know where we're up to. So the girls are still in there. Tank Abbott and Bam Bam Bigelow are still in there. The newest member of Harlem Heat 2000 is still in there. All of these aren't actually members of the match, but the music has just hit. For a legendary superstar, as we see the Hacker himself, Hacksaw Jim Duggan's making his way down to the ring. True professional. How was Hacksaw in WCW?
Nice as he could be. Always a great guy, always in a good mood. Everybody loves Hacksaw. I'm sure that he was not crazy about this gimmick, but him being, like you said, the true professional that he is, he pulled it off.
He
And
did.
actually has had a legendary career. I mean, the guy's he's done it all.
And what I did like about this is the utilization of Hacksaw as the janitor character, as we see him literally dive into people with that 2x4, eliminating Bam Bam Bigelow, and then Ernest the Cat Miller. Norman Smiley's gone as well. Who else has just got? And Tank Abbott. Hacksaw's gone all in. And then Hacksaw's had enough now. Right, I'll eliminate myself and look at the camera and I'm off. Okay, that's a day at the work. What I do like about the Hacksaw gimmick is the janitor gimmick from Hacksaw. It was a point that William Regal made in one of his shows, in that if you can change up your attire and your appearance, they can make new merchandise of yourself. You'll know it as Adam Bomb and all the different outfits that you had over your illustrious career, from all the amazing singlets as Bomb, and then as into Wrath, the Blood Runs Cold, and then into Chronic, as we see some black boots and leather pants, and they're begging the cameraman to pan up. Pan up. Who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? The crowd is salivating at the thought of who we got returning on a random Thursday in Memphis. Who could it feasibly be? We will see that reveal very, very soon. The announcers are intrigued amongst this brutality. They're dying for us to show them who it is, as Flair's getting stomped down by Chris Candido.
I'm surprised they let, I say surprised. I just didn't think that Candido would still be in this right now. I'm surprised.
Okay, talk to me a little bit more about that.
I just didn't, I don't think they did a whole lot with him. And with Sonny. I mean, they brought him in, but they it was just like for at a point it seemed like they were just bringing guys in just to bring them in,
Yeah,
you know.
just so the competition couldn't have them, maybe.
Yeah, and I guess maybe for the Saturday night shows and those things, they would use a lot of the different guys that you would not normally see on Thunder or on Nitro. So, I mean, we had a full roster. We had more than enough.
Well, we're going to see a massive return right about now as the crowd are going to lose their minds at the first sighting of the Macho Man, Randy Savage. Ooh, yeah, he looks awesome, doesn't he? He's jacked right now. The New Blood are backing off. They need the cavalry, but that's what the Millionaires Club have just got. He looks amazing. What is really, really strange about this show? And you might fill us in on this. Macho turns up, goes absolutely nuts, and that's the end of it. We never see Macho again on WCW TV. As Sean's just taken a big beel over the top. There we go. And he also gets rid of the wall and Mike Awesome. And Candido, as we're just talking about Candido, watch the selling from Chris. Chris is great. When Macho fires him over,
Big time.
Chris ends up on the outside. But watch Shane Douglas right now. He saves Savage from making the ultimate faux pas of eliminating himself. But when he pans to the crowd, just watch Candido as to where he is. Candido is over the rail. That is a great sell right there.
Yes.
It's awesome. Now we're thinning out the crowd. So we've just seen DDP and Jarrett eliminate themselves. They are actually going to be in the main event against WCW World Champion David Arquette. Let's talk about David Arquette as world champion and what the talent thought about him being put in that position.
Well, speaking of David Arquette, he will be Germany, Dortmund, Comic Con. So have to get some scoops there. He came off of that big movie around the same time. And that had a lot of influence on what we were doing at the time. Chris Canyon, my partner, in Mortis and Wrath, the Blood Runs Cold deal, he had a huge part in that as far as stunt production, coordinating everything. Speaking of the
Matt,
devil.
another return tonight. So we've had the return of Hacksaw Jim Duggan. We've just had that huge return of the Macho Man Randy Savage, and Bret the Hitman Hart just shows up out of nowhere, nails Hogan for some reason,
Yes.
and that's it. Waves goodbye. I'm out of here. You'll see him just wave to the camera. That's me. I'm done. Bye. And
Huge payday. See you later.
that's it. I think that's the last we see of Brett as well. That's we don't see Brett again.
And Rick's dancing around in his dress pants. He's getting
He's still dancing around. Now
Oh
we're gonna go to a mega shot in a minute. However, I don't know whether or not this was intentional by Hulk, but Kidman gets eliminated by Flair, but Hogan in a battle royal just rolls out underneath. So officially, Hulk's still in this match. Boom, missed it. Missed the shot completely there by Russo. Again, another production gaffe. And Flair goes nuts with this. There we go. And Shane sells this like a trooper. Boom. And there's our winner.
I don't think Hogan was that happy working with the angle with Kidman. I don't think that was
Well, let's talk about this. Yes. So we've got New Blood as Billy Kidman. And there's lots of members of the New Blood that he could have put, they could have put Hogan with. Why do you think they put him with Kidman?
I think if I recall, I think it was something that Kidman said in an interview, and somehow it made its way back to Hogan.
Right.
And they thought that there was a little steam there, but there was really nothing. It was like, ultimate main event, and then Kidman was
Was down
semi-main.
here somewhere.
Yeah, it just didn't make any sense.
Watch
Not
this
that it
spot coming up because we've just missed one, which the camera crew missed as well. But watch this spot coming up because Hogan and Kidman have just gone straight through the table, courtesy of Bischoff. But you'll see the WCW champ make his way out in just a few seconds with it. They don't even acknowledge that. There he is. Boom. David falls straight through the stage.
I didn't see that before.
Yep, that stage was gimmicked because Paige and Jarrett are battling on the scaffold, and they were meant to go through the stage, fall off through the stage. And Arquette just walks onto the gimmick section and goes straight through it.
I never knew that. Oh my. So someone did not either smarten him up or he had no idea of his cues. He should have done a walk through the beginning of the show. So you're telling me he took a bump and didn't know that was going to happen?
Absolutely. 1,000%. And you know what? David Arquette is a movie star. He's also at this stage the WCW champion. And the announcers don't even acknowledge his appearance on the show as the show goes to a close. Wow, he's finished off there. The show goes out to a close with David not being acknowledged and falling straight through the
So you know that I've got to bring this up when I see him.
stage.
That, yeah, okay. We're gonna dive into that. Dive into that in Dortmund. Yes.
Excellent. I want show notes when you get
Yes,
back
I
to
will.
the big AZ. I want to know exactly what he was thinking and what he was told and what he
Wow,
wasn't told.
I had no idea that that was. I didn't know that happened. That's how much I paid attention to that show. I did not know that he. Yeah, and then they did not acknowledge him at all.
Nope. Didn't acknowledge him at all. Jarrett and DDP, I think, are still actually battling on that scaffold right now, waiting for the stage to be reset. Unbelievable.
So that, I guess they just must have just had to come down, right?
Yeah, imagine that scene. That's the, you're building up, you're building up, you're building up. Sorry. Sorry, we've got a movie star that's just gone through your landing pad.
And why even go up there, really? Because you've already had so many things happen in the battle royal. You've had, what, 20, 30 guys in there,
Yeah.
you know.
This was a massive example of WCW overbooking. It didn't need any of that. It would have been fine to have a 20-man battle royal. And that would have they would have got away with that, and it would have made sense in the progression of the Millionaires Club versus New Blood storyline.
Yeah.
But when it gets so convoluted, it waters everything down to the point that nothing really matters. But it's what I needed this week. That show was what I needed this week because I've gone through it, and for 25 minutes, I was completely entertained. I laughed my ass off, and I remembered some really good times from literally that was like 2 days before my 16th birthday. So I was like, yes, happy nostalgic memories. Brilliant. What do you remember about WCW in 2000? Not that particular show. Obviously, you're with Brian. It's a happy time. You've got your tag partner there with you. But what do you remember about the inner workings of WCW at that particular time of 2000?
I would say chaos a little bit. It seemed that like we didn't really know what we were doing storyline wise each week. But then again, it's sort of like that. I would say like that every week in New York. It's like that a little bit because things change. Sometimes guys get hurt, storylines change. But I remember it as fun. I really do, even though that was that episode there with that many people to ring at one time, really not that much fun.
And I think we touched on
For
it.
example, we left early. I mean, I showed up late and I left early. So that tells you how much fun it was.
Literal definition of breaking necks and cashing checks. That's it. Done, in, out.
See you.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of things that were unorganized, but again, overall, looking back at it, it was really fun. The locker room was fun. There were so many guys that were just great guys to be around, and that's a big part of it. The houses were down, which was obvious compared to what we were selling out domes and huge stadiums and stuff and big arenas around the country. And so it dwindled down, of course, by 2000. And of course, it's hard to fight corporate. The corporate offices, when they want to sell and they see you in the red, they want to blame everybody. People want to blame Eric. It wasn't Eric's fault by any means. Eric was, pushing a rock up a hill. And so there was, those were just outside forces that just did not want pro wrestling on TBS TNT anymore. And that's just sort of what happened.
So if you remember, taking it back to March of 2001, WCW gets bought out by the WWF. And in mid-2002, Jarrett forms his own promotion, TNA. So now there are two viable options for talent to go and work, for production team and staff and people to earn a living, which is fantastic. Would you, as a talent, have liked to have seen Eric and the conglomerate that he was working with purchase WCW ahead of the McMahons purchasing WCW to carry on that legacy? Or was WCW too tainted by 2001?
I don't think it was too tainted. I just think that if Eric would have been able to purchase it, it was an energy company of some sort that were trying to purchase it. If
Yeah, I
I'm
can't
correct,
remember the name.
it escapes me right now. But either way, if that would have happened, they would have had to made the transformation of pushing and bringing up the younger talent up to speed into that next level, and then those guys that are already there, mid or up above, bring those up to the top. The Scott Steiners as your world champions, that next group. That's what you would have to do, and elevate everyone.
Yes, it
You
was
can't be
everyone.
bringing, you can't keep Flair around. You can't keep the Pipers coming back. You've got to just move up, and if it's a special occasion or something, maybe, but for the most part, I think that would have to be the direction of a new company starting over. They would have to step up.
That's booking 101, right? That is base rate textbook booking of a professional wrestling territory. As you start it up, they've got to climb up that ladder, because if you keep everybody on the top all the time, there's never going to be any new talent.
And that's when your fans get bored with certain talent. Even going way, way, way back to the territory days, that's guys would leave territories and go and move around. I mean, Tomcat said it himself. Shoes ain't cheap. Booking ain't easy, baby, right?
You know it. You know it. You know it. There's never been a truer comment this week. It's my daughter's birthday on Wednesday, so let's send a massive shout out to
Birthday.
Happy birthday, Sophia Bell. Yes, and speaking
Awesome.
of shoes ain't cheap, booking ain't easy. There's one of her birthday presents right there. They're never cheap. Yeah, always fun. We've got that ahead of us this week. Lots of wrapping and celebrating and birthday candles and cakes and all the chaos that goes along with it. But it was nice for you guys to come along on a lovely little journey back to the year 2000 and WCW. There is so much more meat on the bone when it comes to that particular company and that particular time. I absolutely loved seeing your interaction as Chronic against the natural born thrillers of Jindrak O'Hare, Palumbo, Stasiak, Reno, the full crew. I thought that was brilliant, and the way that that was executed was excellent. So go out of your way if you want to see some entertaining professional wrestling. Load it up into your YouTube, you load it up onto Peacock, and check out some late WCW 2000. It will put a smile on your face. And that is what we're here about at the Meltdown. We're about putting smiles on faces, because we have got big weeks coming up. This weekend, I'm going to be live on stage at the M&S Bank Arena in Liverpool, hosting one of the main stages for Comic-Con Liverpool. And yes, there may just be a sighting of the Unseen 17, but you've got to be in the place. You've got to be in the place to see if you can spot his face. It's the man, the myth, the legend, John Cena, is going to be making an appearance for 2 days, Saturday and Sunday, over in Liverpool, as well as the Million Dollar Man, Ted DiBiase, is going to be making a trip as well. So we're going to try and catch up with Teddy. It's going to be a very, very busy weekend. We've got corporate events and all sorts lined up. It's going to be chaos, but that's what we're all about. We like the beauty of chaos. Send us into an absolute tailspin that by next Monday, I won't even know that it's Meltdown Monday next Monday. But for you, we have got a massive treat next Monday. Huge. So much so that we're recording it in advance so I can get the full edit perfect, because this beast needs the perfect edit. No more to be said. No more to be said. Well, Brian, talk to us a little bit about the stuff that you have got coming up over the next couple of weeks as well. I've just highlighted Comic-Con Liverpool. Where are you going to be out of the next couple of weeks?
This Sunday, I will be at Tucson Toy Convention in Tucson, which is it's an easy drive up the road, which I love that because I don't have to get on a plane. I don't have to fly across country,
Nice.
going across the world in a couple of weeks. But Tucson is it's going to be close. It's fun, and also the greatest intercontinental champion will be there with me. The one, the only, the Honky Tonk Man will be in Tucson. So I'm sure there are some other big names there, but I get to see Mr. Wayne Ferris himself, so that should be very fun. Looking forward to it.
He would be a great guest on the Meltdown. And you've got some other absolutely killer guests over in Dortmund, as the bomber's going to be making his way early December over to Germany. Deutschland is going to be welcoming to the bomber. Who else is on that show? Divulge.
Oh, Godfather,
Yep.
Tugboat Godfather, Luke Bushwacker will be there, and then there's the television film side, and there's a lot of different people that, wow, trying to
Yeah, I
think
was
of
looking down the
there's a
list.
whole
There's
lot.
some
Yeah,
belts.
I'll actually repost that on my social media before I go over, but there are a lot of people that are in the film industry that are also at this event, so it's gonna be fun. I'm looking
It's
forward
all
to
about
it.
intertwining.
And the weather's going to be just a beautiful December in Germany, man. I'm looking forward to see some great footage that I will definitely share.
It's gonna be fresh. It is gonna be special. My daughter was scrolling through, seeing who you're gonna be alongside, and we have got two of the main cast of Full House. Yes, John Stamos is gonna be
Oh,
there.
yeah.
That's gonna be wicked. And as we alluded to earlier on, former WCW champion and a Hollywood icon, David Arquette is gonna be in the building. So just make sure that he's safe. Don't be putting him through any stages.
No, I will do that. He might do it himself, but I won't do
Oh
Wow.
my Lord above. That nearly ended me, that. That nearly got me. It's going to be a very, very busy couple of weeks for us, but we are guaranteed to be here with you to bring you some fun audio, some smiles, some laughter, a little inside information, and revisit some of the most incredible times in professional wrestling history and touch base with some of the icons that you know and love. Well, I need your help right now. We are going to be hosting a very special edition of the Meltdown with the Meltdown Mailbag. So if you've got questions for Brian, I need you to hit us up on our official Instagram page, which is at the Meltdown Official. Send us a little DM and ask away. Ask Brian some of the deepest, darkest questions you've got in your psyche, and let's see what he can pull out of that mailbag as we progress through the months of November and December. We've got another big show coming up at the end of this month as we pay tribute to the original Nasty Boy, Brian Knobbs, and give you something completely unique where you get to be a part of this show. Never Gonna Quiz You Up is going to be merging with the Meltdown for one night only, and you guys are invited to come and play. All details are going to be on our socials this coming week, and it is going to be hot to trot. Big prizes, big smiles, big love for the nasty boy, Brian Knobbs. Well, Brian, it's going to be an epic week, mate. I'm looking forward to being on the up and up. It's what we need right now. But thank you so much, man, for joining us on this absolute belter of a Meltdown Monday. Put a smile on my face. How was that for you?
Fantastic. I loved it. It's always good to go back into history a little bit and watch. And there are certain things, like, for example, with Arquette falling through, I didn't know that even happened. I didn't connect the dots on that. So it's fun to go back and pick it apart and realize how bad production was.
I tell you what, Talon were always awesome, right? Talon were always on it. Oh well, production's production. I'm going to make sure that the production on this is fast and fluid for you guys. We're going to get it out very, very soon, so it's still on your Meltdown Monday, so you can be listening to this on the way home from work and then can log in to see exactly what we were talking about, or you can join up on two devices so you can get a full audio experience while you are watching it live and in person. Well, from me over here in the MAN, I'm going to get out of your ears right now. You've listened to me for far too long, but I'm going to bat it over to the big man over there to wrap it up in a nice big bow, because you know what we say, shoes ain't cheap and booking ain't easy. A-boom.
Thank you, Tomcat. I appreciate you coming back and finally getting over the sickness. You look much better. You
Thank
look
you.
much better. You look much better, my friend. I'm sure all the listeners and the viewers across the country will realize that the Tomcat is back. But we appreciate you guys and gals stopping in. We love that you visit us. And by the way, we love all the comments in the comment section. We got some great followers, and we appreciate that. And we know you guys are listening from around the world, not just stateside, not just in the UK, but worldwide. So, again, a massive, I'm going to go ahead and say it, Hall of Famer. I'm going to leave it at that. A Hall of Famer will be on the Meltdown next week, and looking forward to it. You guys are going to love it. We're going to bounce out of here. You guys have a great evening, breaking necks and cashing checks, and we will talk to you soon.